I can still hear your words, the vibrant joy in your voice, as we sat in the back of a taxi stopped in traffic. The windows rolled down, but no breeze blowing in, except for the occasional wind from a motorcyclist weaving past.
Is it what you expected?
You clutched my hand and shook it with excitement.
Maybe I should answer that once we've left the airport road, don't you think? I can't believe we're here, you said.
Not to me, but to a child waving to us from an adjacent car window. The traffic sprawled for hours, barely moving, like a snake that had swallowed a calf. You had told me before that São Paulo was not the tropical paradise on postcards. It wasn't the pictures of women on the beach with fruit baskets on their heads. High-rise buildings traced the horizon, and favelas extended for miles on both sides of the highway. We passed a road that broke into the dense favela tessellation, revealing clotheslines strung from brick wall to metal roof, and a young girl pushing a shopping cart filled with cans and palm leaves. A barefoot man standing on the partition walked in front of our stopped taxi and began to juggle oranges for money.
Look,
he said, and nudged my arm. But the cab driver wasn't, so I didn't want to. When the traffic moved again, just 3 car lengths, the man wouldn't step away, so the driver whistled and waved his arm out the window. Not angry, but persistent.
Linda, give him some money, you said.
I only have U.S. dollars, I said, stirring the contents of my purse. You took out your wallet.
They gave me 50s at the money exchange.
For a moment, I saw you weigh whether you should part with a 50 real note. Then the man moved to the side, and the taxi lurched forward. This trip felt like a series of fever dreams from the start. Just 4 months earlier, on a cold afternoon in September, you came home and told me you had something to tell me. The University of São Paulo had offered you a year-long teaching residency in their history department. What you didn't know was I had spent that morning cleaning our home, weighing the something that I had to tell you too. I'd been thinking a lot about an escape from Hartford. What would it be like to spread both my arms into thin mountain air, to have my feet planted firmly on the ocean floor? I thought about how faucet water might taste in Italy, while showering our neglected garden, which, despite my best attempts, had browned long ago. I thought about our 7 years of marriage, gathered the paradoxical concerns that had been plaguing me for the past several months. I had lost my job. I didn't have my own money. All of our friends were your friends from the university. I had spent the last year caring for my dying father. Now my days were replaced with memories of everything I no longer had. Because of these reasons, I thought that maybe it would be better for the both of us if I packed my bags and left for a while. I anticipated you might point out that these were all the reasons I should stay. Leaving you was less a solution and more like a heartbeat trying to break free from its ribcage. I couldn't go on like this, but knew I might not survive without you. And so I stood at our kitchen island, cutting a bundle of store-bought cilantro with a pair of scissors, waiting for you to come home. I remember the sounds of the door cracking and closing, your shoes bristling against the doormat. You rushed into the kitchen and dropped a stack of papers next to the cutting board, blowing the cilantro onto the floor.
Baby,
you said, leaning over to help gather the fallen herbs.
I have got incredible news.
Okay, I said. But can you get the broom as well?
Forget about the cilantro, Linda. We're going to Brazil.
I knew you meant to state this as a proposition, not a declaration. The fact that you hadn't turned into a back and forth that neither of us want to relive. I write about it now only to show how excited you were, convinced that a year in São Paulo would be a transformative change. You told me I could take as much time as I needed to respond. But really, we didn't have that long. We would be leaving in early January, before the start of the Brazilian academic year. An hour into our taxi ride from Guarulhos Airport, we arrived in our new neighborhood, Moema. There we discovered a district of mansions and luxe buildings.
The trees grew unbridled from the sidewalks, cracking the cement, carpeting the ground with purple petals.